Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
In 2009, during the bicentennial anniversary of Darwin's birth, the scientific journal Nature released a free online packet titled 15 Evolutionary Gems. Its subtitle was, A Resource from Nature for Those Wishing to Spread Awareness of Evidence for Evolution by Natural Selection. It might have been better subtitled, An Evangelism Packet for Those Wishing to Spread the Good News about Darwinism. After all, when Nature announced the packet, they said they were heeding a prior call, which, quote, urged scientists and their institutions to spread the word, unquote, about evolution, and, quote, highlight reasons why scientists can treat evolution by natural selection as, in effect, an established fact, unquote. The packet is said to be used not just in schools, but also in home evangelism or relationship evangelism. At least, that's basically what Nature said, stating, quote, This week we are following our own prescription. Readers will find at www.nature.com/evolutiongems a freely accessible resource for biologists and others who wish to explain to students, friends, or loved ones just what is the evidence for evolution by natural selection. In a year in which Darwin is being celebrated amid uncertainty and hostility about his ideas among citizens, being aware of the cumulatively incontrovertible evidence for those ideas is all the more important. We trust that this document will help, unquote. If that weren't enough, the back page of the packet shows a picture of a smiling young Darwin, with animals flocking about him, lizards, birds, monkeys, flowers, sponges, turtles, etc., much like some picture of Jesus posing with lions and lambs on some cheesy religious tract. You have to see the packet to believe it. Should we be surprised that Nature, perhaps the world's top scientific journal, is promoting evolution in this fashion? The respected historian of evolution, Peter J. Bowler, explains that Nature itself was originally founded in the late 19th century by T.H. Huxley and others for the express purpose of promoting a campaign to promote the case for evolution. Perhaps this packet is just the latest step in that campaign. Nature's Evolution Evangelism packet opens with one of the most dogmatic statements imaginable in support of evolution. According to the packet, most biologists take for granted the idea that all life evolved by natural selection over billions of years. Natural selection is a fact in the same way that the Earth orbits the Sun is a fact. Surely if their claim is true and not a bluff, then we will find strong evidence for evolution by natural selection in the packet, namely the apparently incontrovertible view that all life evolved by natural selection. So what exactly were Nature's evolutionary gems? In this series of four podcasts, we're going to review some of the gems from Nature's packet, but you can find a full response to all of the gems on evolutionnews.org. We'll start by noting that most of the gems in the packet showed essentially trivial examples of microevolutionary change. For example, one of Nature's gems was said to show natural selection in speciation by citing a study that showed reproductive isolation in populations of stickleback fish. But if we're evaluating the evidence for evolution, you must ask what sort of morphological divergence is observed between the different stickleback fish populations. The answer? A difference of 2 to 3 centimeters in length. It goes without saying that small changes in size of stickleback fish are not going to explain the evolutionary origin of sticklebacks in the first place. Have we actually witnessed differences that show large-scale evolutionary change is possible, or even examples of speciation that go beyond the trivial? Well, another one of the gems claimed to find natural selection in lizards. Well, it wasn't exactly natural selection. Kind of like how researchers once glued peppered moths on tree trunks to see if they'd be eaten by birds, these evolutionary researchers artificially introduced a predatory lizard onto small populations in the Caribbean to see if there was any impact on populations of anolis lizards that were native to the island. And they didn't just introduce the lizards to the island, they also released the curly-tailed predatory lizards right in front of their would-be prey. Confirming prior studies, the anolis lizards were found to undergo selection for both larger body sizes in females and longer limbs in males, because this allowed them to better escape the predatory, curly-tailed lizards. Anolis lizards may be small, but they aren't stupid. They also started spending less time on the ground and perched higher up in trees in response to their newfound predators. I'm sure that the slower, smaller anolis lizards didn't appreciate falling prey, literally, to this experiment, but even in this experiment we saw nothing beyond extremely small-scale changes in the size of lizards and some behavioral responses. Much like the peppered moth story told us nothing about the origin of moths, what does this study tell us about the origin of lizards? Not very much. Stay tuned for more on a response to Nature's Evolutionary Gems packet, and you can find the full response at evolutionnews.org. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.